Welcome to another in our series of recordings on Maseches Tamid. This is just a very quick read through the Masechta intended to help people make a siyum in isolation on Erev Pesach. We are in the middle of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis 31b, the end of the Mishnah there. And God willing, this recording will actually run to the end of the Perek, the end of the chapter on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. That will also conclude all of the Gemara in Maseches Tamid, and what will remain after that are just Mishnayos. This may be a little bit longer than the other recordings. Okay, so our Mishnah had talked about the Shechita of, and then the breaking down of the parts of the Tamid, the daily carbon. And our Gemara is going to begin by continuing to discuss the processing of that carbon, and that'll take us all the way down to the bottom of 31b, before we will launch into something entirely different. Tana, Yad v'regel ka'kedas Yitzchak ben Avram. The Gemara says that we had said in the Mishnah that the way they prepared the sheep was that they were not kofet it, but rather they were ma'akid it. And what we said was that that meant they didn't tie all four legs together, but rather the right foreleg with the right rear leg, the left foreleg with the left rear leg. And that's what our Gemara here says. Yad v'regel, it's foreleg and rear leg together, ka'akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. Like was done at the Akedah. That's when we talk about the Akedah of Yitzchak, v'ya'akod. It's a reference to that kind of tying. Okay, lo hayu kofsin es hatleh, and they didn't tie all the legs together. My time, what's the rationale? So Rav Huna and Rav Chisda both give explanations. They don't simply say, well, Akedah is better because it's like what happened with Yitzchak, but rather, chad amar mishum bizayon kachim. One of them said the issue is degrading the karbanos because, as the Rush notes, that's the way you do it when you bring an animal to market. Chad amar mishum demahalech b'chukei ha'amim. And the other one said, no, it's because this is what was done for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. They would tie the animals in that way, and we wanted to avoid that appearance. And might be now, what would be the difference between those two explanations? Well, one difference would be if you tie it up, but you do it with silks. So it's no, there's no bizayon, and it's not degrading. It doesn't look like what they do in the market. At the same time, it will still resemble Avodah Zarah. Inami, alternatively, behutza de dava. If you were to use gold, some kind of a gold string, presumably again, same point, it would be it would not be degrading. Nonetheless, it would still resemble what they do for Avodah Zarah. I'm not entirely clear on why you need to say these two answers. This is really the same answer twice. Shita Mekubetzes has a note on here just changing chutzah to chuta, but it doesn't help in terms of our point. Okay. Tanan Hasam. We talked about the place in which you shafted on the north side of the Mizbeach and how you had the table set up there and that they washed the body of the animal on those tables. So Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah which is which teaches us the following. Shloshes Shulchanos Hayu B'Mikdash. The Mishnah is in Shkalim. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. Shmonesh Shayish Beis HaMitbachayim Sh'alehem Adichin Es HaKarban. 8 of them were marble ones, and that was in the area where you shechted the carbon on the north side of the Mizbeach, and that was where you washed Madichim Es HaKarbayim, you washed the innards. Beis M'Ma'arava Shal Kevesh. You added 2 that were on the west side of the ramp. The ramp is on the south side of the Mizbeach, so you have 2 that are on the west side of that ramp. One was marble, one was silver. And you would put the parts of the carbon on the marble table while they're waiting to go up on the Mizbeach. And on the silver one, you would put the vessels that you're using to hold whatever you need to hold there. Those would go on the silver table. And then you have the ulam. So the ulam, for those who don't remember, if you look at the diagrams that we had after Maseches Midos on that Mem Amud Aleph, as you progress westward in the Beis HaMikdash, so I'm looking at the diagram that's marked, well, really any of them, but the Yudalid will do just fine. You enter from the east, right? You then, if you want a larger and more elaborate diagram, you can look at the one marked Yudzayin. You're entering through the Ezras Nashim first, the area of the Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Kohanim, all these outer areas, and then you get to the outer Mizbeach, where everything's been happening, and then you go further in, and you get to the Ulam. And then the Ulam leads you into the Heichal. The Heichal is the room which has the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Kodesh Kodashim. All of that is in the Heichal. So the Ulam is between these outer areas and outer Mizbeach and the Heichal. So back in our Gemara, we say that Uba Ulam, in this space called the Ulam, Shnayim Mibifneim Al Pesach Habayis. You had two tables by the entrance to the room. Echad Shel, we say Echad Shel Kesef, Echad Shel Zav, one of silver and one of gold. The Bach actually says one of Shayish, one of marble, and one of gold. Okay, interesting. Al Shel Kesef, on the one... Hang on 1 second. Okay. Al shel either kesef or shayish nothim lechem apanim b'chnisaso. On the silver or marble one, they would put the lechem apanim, the showbread, when it was being brought into the heichal, to be put on the shulchan on Shabbos. Val shelzav b'tiyaso, and when it leaves, it goes onto a gold table. Why? Shemalim b'kodesh for lamor reasons, considered to be going up in kedusha, up in holiness. So it gets the gold table. Vechad shelzav b'fnim sh'alav lechem apanim tamid. And then, of course, you have the shulchan, the one that we were told about in Parashas Truma, the shulchan that is made out of gold. That's the one that the showbread sit on. So the Gemara asks, Michti ain't any smako mashiras, am I adi the shayish? Why do I have a marble table at all? Why don't I make them all out of gold? Or silver, he says. Now do the kesef, why don't I make it out of silver? There is no poverty in a place of wealth. This is, I think, the third time we've mentioned that principle in our discussions in this Masechta. So neavdu kesef, neavdu dezav. Why don't I make it of silver? Why don't I make it of gold? Amr chinana b'shem rabbi asi, rabbi asi b'shem rabbi shmuel bar rav yitzchak, mibnei shumar tiach. And the answer is, because it will heat up the parts for the carbon. If you're talking about by the mizbeach, it'll heat up the bread. If you're talking about the bread from the showbread, you don't want that to happen. Now, is it actually warming it up, or is it simply that it's not going to slow the process of deterioration? That I don't know. But the language here is that it actually heats it up, speeding the process of deterioration, and that's something that we are evidently concerned about. Okay. Mishnah then said, we are now about 10-12 lines up from the bottom. Shel Shachar Hayanishchat Al Keren. We have in our edition Mizrachis Tzvonis, but as I noted when we read the Mishnah, Tzvonis Ma'aravis is actually what we meant to say. The Tamid Shel Shachar, the morning carbon Tamid, is shechted on the north side of the Mizbeach, but specifically the northwest corner of the Mizbeach. Menoani Mili, how do you know that? Amr Chizta Damar Krush, Shnayim Layom, Kineged Ayom. Since the Torah says that you bring two of these animals, right? Carbon Tamid in the morning and the evening, Layom, to the day, it means Neged Hayom, opposite the sun. So in the morning, the sun is in the east, therefore you do your Shechita in the west. And then the evening one, you'll do, again, the sun is in the west, you'll Shechit in the east. Tanya Nami Hachi, Brisa supports this. Shnayim Layom, Kneged Hayom, opposite the sun. Ata Omer Neged Hayom, Oeno Elechobas Hayom. Really? Why doesn't the word Layom just mean per day? You have two carbonos that you have to bring per day. Kishu Omer Es Hakeves Echot Taseva Boker Veis Hakeves Hashinit Haseben Harbayim. Well, I have a pasuk that says that you bring one lamb in the morning and you bring the second lamb in the evening. Harichovas Hayom Omer. So already you told me what I need to do. Hamani Mekem Shnayim Layom. What do you need with the word Shnayim Layom? Two per day. Neged Hayom, opposite the day, meaning opposite the sun. Haketzah. So how do you do that? Tamid Shel Shachar Hayanishchad Akeren Tzonis Ma'aravis. Al Tabas Shnia. The morning one is on the northwest corner, on the second ring. And the evening one is going to be on the northeast corner at the second ring. They don't mention it here, but the reason why you're using the second ring and not the first is because the Mizbeach, just the bulk of the Mizbeach, would block the light. So therefore you did it one ring away from that. But the Gemara here does not get into that. Okay, and now as I said in our introduction, we get to something entirely, entirely different. We're now going to have a discussion with Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great is going to ask 10 questions of the Chachamim, and the rest of this parak almost is going to be the adventures of Alexander the Great. I recommend an article that I read that I found fascinating. It's from a book called The Alexander Romance in Persia and the East. It's It's a piece by Ori Amitai of the University of Haifa. It's called Alexander in Bavli Tamid, In Search for a Meaning. He has some fascinating points that he makes in there, including a point that I think is very substantive regarding reading this whole passage, which is that this is the message here is humility. That's the message that we're meant to draw from this. He talks a lot more about it, and he compares it to accounts that we have in other literature of questions Alexander asked various sages, where there are similarities between those accounts, where there are differences between those accounts and ours. It's a very interesting read, and of course that's in addition to taking a look at the Maharsha, looking at the Maharal, looking at those who we should really look at first when learning these stories. Okay, so we are one line off from the bottom, and again, we're doing this very quickly. We're going to be skipping a lot of very interesting material on this necessarily. Alexander of Macedonia asks 10 things from elders of the Negev. We assume that they are Jewish, just based on the substance of their responses to him. Amar Lahen, he said to them, which is further apart? Is it the sun from the earth, or is it the east from the west? So Amrullah, they said to me, Mizrach Lamarav, east and west are further away. Teda, you know that. They said to him, try looking at the sun. When the sun is in the east in the morning, when the sun is in the west in the evening, you're able to look at it. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, you can't look at it. So clearly, that means that the distance from earth to the sky in the as represented in the middle of the day is smaller than the distance from east to west. But then you get an interjection. The Chachamim, so evidently not the Ziknei HaNegev, have a different point of view. That they're actually the same. Shneimer, as the pasuk says, the text presents distances, and it wants to say things that are really far apart. And one example of things that are really far apart is the heavens above the earth, and another example of things that are really far apart is east to west. The ichad minayu nafish, and if one of them were greater than the other, then the bache adds in lo nichtov travaihu. You shouldn't have written both of them. You should have written the one that was longer. Ki or Ella in the Ba, Ella Hahu Dinafish. You should have written the one that was greater. You didn't do that. It must be that they are actually of the same distance. If you look at the Gemara in the second parak in Chagiga, it's worth comparing that to what we say here. Well, if the distance is the same, then I don't understand. Why can't you look at the sun when it's in the middle of the sky? And the answer is because it's directly opposite you and there's nothing, atmosphere that prevents you from looking at it. As I said, this is a quick run through. This requires more discussion. So the next question, the second on the list, if you're keeping score, he wants to know, heavens created first or earth created first? Amru, Shemayim Nivru Tchila. They said the heavens were created first. Shenema, Bereishis Bara Elokim Asa Shemayim Vasa Aretz. In the beginning of Hashem's creation of heavens and earth, heavens went, they were there first. Amar Lahen, third question, Or Nivru Tchila O Chavshech. What was created first, light or dark? Amru Lo, Mil Sada Ein La Pese. They said, that doesn't have an answer. Sorry. I don't understand. Why didn't you use the same logic that you used for heaven and earth, used for light and dark? You should say darkness was created first. The pasuk says that there was darkness in the land, Bahadar, and then it says, God creates light. So obviously, darkness is there first. Savri dilma asi l'shayule malamalo malamata malefnemu maleachor. They were worried that he would then start to ask other questions. What is above? What is below? What was before? What's after? Which the Gemara in Chagiga tells us is not for that kind of exploration. So, I don't understand. Then don't tell him about the heavens either. The answer is that at first they thought it was just a question that he's asking without any particular interest in the field of cosmology. Then they saw, no, he's actually continuing to ask, Sabri lo nemale. So they said, better not to feed his curiosity here. Dilma asi l'shayule malamala malamata malefnim malachor, lest he ask more questions along those lines. If you take a look at the Maharsha here, he has an interesting piece on this, and he talks about the fear that they would enter into the territory of those who say that darkness simply exists and is not created. We believe everything that exists Hashem created, he says, including Choshech, including darkness. Darkness is not merely the absence of light. They didn't want to go into that whole discussion, and therefore they stopped there. There's more to see in the Marasha, Ayin Shan. Okay, we are now up to question number 4. He shifts gears. He's done with the cosmology questions, and now he asks personal questions. Amar Lehem, he asks them, Eidein Mikri Chakim, who is called wise? And here the Maharsha says that Alexander is preening. He's looking for them to praise him, and he is known for being very wise, and he's known for being very wealthy, and he's known for being very powerful. And what he wants to say is, ha, look at me. So he says, Eidein Mikri Chakim, who is wise? Amar Lehem, they said, you want to know who's chacham, who's wise? Someone who sees that which is going to happen. Or as the Marsha says, someone who sees the purpose for which he was born. Amar lehem eidein miskeri gibor. Who is mighty? Amru lo ezu gibor hakovesh es yitzro. Somebody who conquers his own nature and his own inclinations. Amru lehem eidein miskeri ashir. He said, who is called wealthy? Amru lehem ezu ashir hasameach b'chelko. Somebody who is happy with what he has, which Alexander, as we'll see in the story, decidedly is not. So, of course, you look at this and you think, wow, well, that's Pirkei Avos, isn't it? It is worth noting that it's actually a blend of Pirkei Avos, meaning you're getting a blend of what you see in Perek Dalet in Pirkei Avos and Perek Beis in Pirkei Avos. And the Marasha discusses that a little bit as well. So take a look there. Okay. He then asks them another question. Amar lehen, ma yavet inish v'yichya? What should somebody do and live? Amar lehen, yomis atzmo. They said he should kill himself. Mayavid inish v'yomus. What should somebody do and die? Yichayas atzmo. He should give himself life. What in the world is this about? So the parish on the side says, yomis atzmo, he should kill himself, meaning he should lower himself. He should humble himself. If a person humbles himself, he will live. On the other hand, if a person wants to die, he should elevate himself over others. Others will then be jealous of him, and he will die. You don't put yourself out there as being powerful, and that will fit with what's coming next in this. The Rosh says a person who wants to live should kill himself, meaning that he should work really hard to try to amass wealth. That's the suggestion, and then he'll be able to live. And then he also brings further down in the Rosh the idea that I think comes to us intuitively, that one should kill himself, meaning he should deny himself pleasures of the flesh in pursuit of Torah, and then he'll live in this world and the next world. And then if a person doesn't want to live, a person wants to die, then he should do the opposite of these things. So both ideas are presented there in the Rosh, the idea of pursuing wealth and the idea of pursuing Torah. That brings us to his ninth question. Amar Lahen, he says to them, we're about two-thirds of the way down the page. Mayaved Inishvi's Kabbalah Briyasa. What should somebody do to be accepted by people? And here, Amitai makes the point, and I think he's correct. He doesn't mean just anybody. He means what should a king do? What should a ruler do? Amru Yisne Malchu V'Shilton. And they said he should avoid lording his power over others. Don't impose your power on others. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Didi Tava Mididchu. I have a better answer than you. Yircham Malchu V'Shilton V'Yave Tivu in B'nei Anasha. He should love power and use it to do good things for other people. If he helps other people, that'll be great. This demonstrates, according to Amitai, that he is learning the lesson of humility and of service. It's demonstrating a certain value to Alexander. Okay. We are now up to his 10th question. Amar lehen, b'yama yoylemeder or b'yabeshto yoylemeder? Is it better to live on land or better to live at sea? Or reverse that, by sea or on land? Amru le, b'yabeshto yoylemeder. They said, better to be on land. Da'kol nechusei yama lo miyas v'dayta da'atehon adesalken le'yabeshto. After all, people who go to sea are not comfortable, they're not satisfied, they're not settled until they get onto land. Amar lehen, eiden minchun chakim yazir. He asked, which of you is the wisest? Amru lo, kulana kechada shavi. And we're all equal. After all, when you ask us all these questions, we all answer this one. So clearly, we're all the same. Amar Lahen, he says to them, Ma deina treistun lekivli? Why is it that you oppose me? Which the Perush on the side says what we would logically assume this means. Why won't you accept Hellenic culture? Why are you fighting us? Amar Lahen, sitna natzach. The satan has won. Meaning to say, the fact that you are more powerful doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, it happens. The satan sometimes wins. He has the opportunity to tell us that we aren't able to survive, that we aren't able to thrive on our own ideals. That doesn't really scare us. Well, this too shall pass. We're about 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Amar Lahen, he says to them, Ha ana machtil me'yaschon b'gzeres malkin. I am going to issue a royal decree and have you executed. So there. You think that you're better than I am. So Amrulei Shultan Biad Malka, they said, well, power is given to the king, Vlo Yoyla Malka Kazav. But you know, lying isn't appropriate for a king. Meaning, you promised us that you were going to protect us, the commentators say, and now you're going to kill us because you didn't like our answers. Miat Albesh Yashon at Levushin to Argavon, he then gave them purple clothing, Vishadya Manicha Dadav Al Tsavarehon, and he gave them gold ornaments to wear around their necks, shades of various other stories, I think including in Daniel, if I remember correctly. I should look that up. Amar Lahen, he says to them, Ba'ina de'eza l'medina safriki. He says, I like to go to Africa. He is still somebody who is avaricious. He's still greedy. And he says, I would like to go to Africa. My problem is, I don't know how. The Amru Leila Matzis Azlis, they said to them, you can't go. The Paski Hare Choshech, the mountains of darkness are in the way. As Azulai notes, here we venture from the realm of a direct dialogue between sages and Alexander into the realm of some kind of a fantasy element, almost, it seems like, where he pursues the fulfillment of his wildest dreams. Amar Lahen, Lo Sagya de Lo Azlina. He says, I can't not go. Amatu Hachi, Mishayon Aluchu. That's why I'm asking you. What do I do? He says, I don't know how to get there, but I need to. Elamaya, but what should I do? Amru Lay, I see Chamri Luboy. They said to him, bring Libyan donkeys. The Parshi Bahavra, they travel in darkness. The Icy Kibure Demasni, and bring good rope, the kata b'hai gisa, and tie it on this end. So the chiasis, that way when you come back, nakas b'gavayu v'asis la'asrach. You'll be able to follow the rope in order to get back, which of course is found in various stories, this sort of a method. Okay. Avar hachi, he did it. V'azal mata lahum achosat dekulei nashi, and he arrived in a city that was all female. Boilem evakrabba b'hadayu. So he wanted to fight with them, right? That's the Marsha notes. That's sort of what we expect. And it's part of the greed that we would associate with this king. Amrulei, they said to him, Ikatlis lan, if you kill us, Yomru Nashi Kazals. People say, he killed women, big deal. Ikatil Nalach, and if we kill you, Yomru Malkat de Kalu Nashi, they call you a king killed by women, which, you know, in Tanakh we find to be something of a disgrace. If you think of Sisra, you think of Abimelech in Sefer Shoftim. Amar Lahen, Aisuli Nama. So he says, all right, bring me bread. I want bread. Isolay Nama de Dava, Psara de Dava. They bring him gold, bread, a loaf of gold, on a gold table. Amar Lahu, flipping onto 32B, Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, he says to them, and me achli inshi Nama de Dava, who eats gold bread? What's that? Amrulay, they said to him, Ela inama boyis, lo avalach ba'asrach nama lamechol. They said, what, you came here for bread? If you wanted bread, there was no bread around locally. The shaklis va'as is la'acha, that you came here. And their point is to mock him, fundamentally. They're making fun of him. Kinafik Va'asi, when he left, Kasav Ababa de Mechoza, he wrote on the gate to the city, Ana Alexandros Mokdon, Havesi Shatya Adasesi Limedina Safriki de Nishaya, Filifas Eitza Min Nishaya. Alexander says something which is clearly meant to be a statement of humility, somewhat sexist. He says, I, Alexander of Macedonia, was a fool until I arrived in the land of the women in Africa, and there I learned counsel from the women, meaning now I have learned humility from them. Look at me, I'm trying to satisfy my appetite by coming here and asking for bread. Kishakil va'asi, yasev ahu ma'ayanas. He's now on his way back, following that rope, and he gets to a spring. Apparently he didn't notice the spring the first time. I don't know. Ka'achil nama, and he's eating bread. Havu biyade guldeni de milcha, and he had salted fish with him. So bahadi de machavri lehu, while he's washing them off, just washing off the salt, nafa bahu recha or rucha, depending on your edition. There's either a great smell about it, a positive smell, or rucha, like a spirit of life. Amar, and he said, Shmamina hai eina me gan eden asi. He says, wow, this water is coming from Gan Eden. Some say that he took from the water and washed his face with it. However, others say they actually followed the path of the spring, all the way back to the entrance to Gan Eden. And again, that arrogance emerges and says, open the gate for me. Amrule Zashar Lashem, Tzadikim Yelchuvo, right? The Tzadikim Yavovo, they say, this is the gate for Hashem. Only Tzadikim get to go in. And if you know, Azulai points out in his article, if you look at that pasuk in context, this is all about the lesson in righteousness. Omar Lahon, Ana Nami Malka Ana, Mechshav Chashivna. He says, ha, I'm a king, I'm really important. Havali Midi, give me something. Okay. They gave him Gulgalta Gulgoles. What is that? So usually Gulgoles is a skull. And indeed, some of the commentators say this is a skull. Some say it's an eyeball. Clearly, the focus in the story, so to speak, is going to be about the eye. He weighs all of his gold and all of his silver opposite it on a scale of a maskele. And it can't match the weight of this skull or this eye socket. Amr lahon l'rabbanan mayha. The Rabbanan say, he says to the Rabbanan, my high, what is this? They say, yeah, that's the eye socket of an eye of flesh and blood, which is never full, it's never satisfied. How can you prove that that's so? They took a little bit of dirt and scattered it on it and covered it. And la'alter takla, and immediately it could be outweighed by the silver and gold. Dichsiv, and it's based on psukim in Mishle, which starts Sheol v'Avadon lo sis bo'ena, that Sheol, the grave, and Avadon, and destruction, will never satisfy it. The parish on the side throws in Sheol v'Avadon negdo. That shouldn't belong there. No. Shalva Hodan ve'ene Adam losis bana, that the eye of a person will not be satisfied. Okay. Now, we talked about the other side of the Hare Choshech, the mountains of darkness. So Tana de Eliyahu, they learned in the yeshiva of Eliyahu. Gehenim l'malam en arakia. Gehenim is above the heavens. V'yesh omrim la'achore Hare Choshech. And some say it is beyond the mountains of darkness. We are not going into what either of those means right now. Tani Rabbi Chia, Kol Osik b'Torah b'Layla Shechina Kinegdo. If you involve yourself in Torah at night, the Shechina is opposite you. Shneamar Kumi Roni b'Layla L'Rosh Hashmuros Shivchi Chamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. The get up and Roni literally sing in the night at the head of the shifts. Shivchi Chamayim Libech, pour out your heart like water. Nochach Pnei Hashem, opposite Hashem. So your opposite Hashem, the Shechina, is going to be with you. So this is about to conclude the whole, all the Gemara in Seder Kadshim, so it's going to conclude with a special point. But just to explain again, this whole business came, I think, from the idea of East and West, and where the sun is at different points during the Avodah in the service, and that led us into this whole discussion. But clearly there's something more going on that we're just not going to get to right now in inserting the debate with Alexander at the end of Seder Kadshim. But Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is the edition that we have. More commonly, of course, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Torah scholars increase peace, or Shlemut, wholeness, completion in the world. Shnemar b'chol b'nayach l'mudei Hashem, v'rav shalom b'nayach, all your children are learned of God, rav shalom b'nayach, great is the shalom of your children. And then, of course, as we see elsewhere, atakir b'nayach ala b'nayach, don't say b'nayach, your children, but b'nayach, your builder, shalom rav l'vesa asecha v'amukhsholi, hi shalom b'chilech, shav v'nasayach, l'manach v'ayed abonash v'ambach, m'beis Hashem alakena v'akshat tov lach. All of that belongs here. I didn't actually transplant it here onto my page, but if you look in the Gemara at the end of Brachos, you'll find it, and as well as in Krisus, as well as in Nazir, as well as in Yevamos. So Hanur Lach Layukos, and that concludes this parak. And God willing, in the next recording, we will go through more of the Mishnah that remains in the Masechta.